Consider with me a master potter. He selects the finest clay to create a masterpiece. He molds and he shapes, pouring his heart into every detail. And finally, once his work is finished, he steps back and he admires his labor. He places his masterpiece in a special place where it's preserved, it's admired, and it's treasured forever. Our God has called us his masterpiece. Our God loves us so abundantly that he has reserved for us a place in heaven to be with him in eternity. However, first, we must go through this world. Please open your Bibles to the book of Jude. This evening, we'll consider the immense love that God shows us and what that means for each of us. Now, Jude is a small book. The entire book is one chapter. You want to go to the book of Revelation and just go back one page. Now, usually when we read one of the epistles, we'll read over the introduction or the greeting rather quickly and just move on. However, the first two verses in the book of Jude are quite rich, and there is much to gain when we take a closer look at what is being said. Beginning in verse 1, Jude writes, "Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are the called, beloved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ, may mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you." Now, Jude's approach is structured in threes. So he identifies himself, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ, and James' brother. And he addresses his audience, the called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ. And his prayer is also threefold. May mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Now, when you look at the ways of this world, you don't see an abundance of mercy, peace, and love. This world seems to focus more on selfishness, conflict, and indifference. You see it all over the news. You see it all over in the cities. Anywhere there's large amounts of people, there's a lack of sympathy, a lack of trust, and a lack of care. The majority of people in this world have a mentality of only the strong survive. The idea that you have to step on top of other people to get where you want to go or to get what you think you need. In this world, unfortunately, greed, power, and pride are often the major motivators. While we live in the world, as Christians, we are not of the world. This world is not our home. And this is not of our own doing. It's not that we're so great. It's not that we're better than anybody. This is a beautiful blessing which God has given us who have accepted his invitation to be a part of his family. And because we've accepted this invitation, we can experience God's abundant blessings poured out on us every single day. This evening, our aim is simple. To glorify God and to give thanks for his beautiful blessings in our lives. There are two specific blessings we'll focus on this evening. Number one is the role that he has placed us in. And number two is the rewards that he has given us. Now let's dive into the first blessing of focus this evening, the role that he has placed us in. And just like Jude, we too are bond servants of Jesus Christ. We are the called. We are beloved in God the Father, and we are kept for Jesus Christ. Jude opens his letter by identifying himself as a bondservant of Jesus Christ. Unlike the typical idea of a servant, you know, deacon, diakonos, Jude uses a much stronger term here. The term is slave. And this choice of words signifies a relationship of submission and dedication to Jesus. When we think about being a slave for Christ, it's not about forced servitude or oppression. It embodies a willing surrender of our will to His. A recognition that He is our master and we are His devoted servants. As bondservants of Jesus Christ, we embrace a life of obedience and service. Christ Himself came not to be served, but to serve. We find freedom in surrender, freedom from the bondage of sin and self-centeredness, liberated to live in accordance with God's purpose and plan. Paul emphasizes this in Romans 6:22, saying, "But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit, resulting in sanctification, and the outcome, eternal life." Being a slave to Christ brings freedom, a freedom that liberates us to live abundantly in God's grace and truth. And Jude says that we are the called. And this applies to each of us who have responded to God's call. But what does it mean to be the called? We are the faithfully obedient, those who respond in faith and follow Christ wholeheartedly. We are the baptized, Acts 2:38, born again, 1 Peter 1:3, believer, Mark 16:16, who has accepted the call of Christ. We are called to be children of the light, Ephesians 5:8. We are called to freedom, Galatians 5:13. We are called to peace, 1 Corinthians 7:15. We are called into His kingdom of glory, 1 Thessalonians 2:12. We are called to pick up our cross and follow Him, Matthew 16:24. And Peter would say, we're called out of darkness into His marvelous light, 1 Peter 2:9. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose, Romans 8:28. We truly are beautifully blessed to be the called, to be in God's family. And Jude goes on to say, we are beloved in God the Father. No matter what you may have been told by the enemy, God loves you. What an amazing position to be in, right? The creator of the universe, the one who has all power and creates worlds, He loves you. The word beloved here is in a perfect tense. So an example of this would be to say that we are standing in the state of being loved by God the Father. This is a continuous state. And it's not that we deserve His love. He shows us what it truly is to love. His love is freely given, a merciful love for a helpless child. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. We experience a love that transcends human understanding and surpasses all earthly affections. We read in Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. We are constantly covered in a love that we as humans just cannot fully understand. We receive the beautiful blessing of feeling this love every day. We live in His love. We love each other because of His love. And we love others by His love. He loves us as a parent loves their child. We are the children of the Creator of the universe. We are heirs with Christ because of the sacrifice of the Lord and Savior. As we look around us in this world, we can easily see the difference of being in the family of God and being outside the family of God. Being His children does not make us better than others, but it gives us something that we can share with others to introduce them to His love. And the next thing Jude tells us here is that we are kept for Jesus Christ. Once again, this is in the perfect tense. We are standing in the state of being kept for Jesus Christ continually. When you keep something, that means it has a certain amount of value or importance. Isn't it beautiful to think that God considers you valuable and important? God is actively preserving and protecting all of us for a purpose. To be kept for Jesus Christ is to understand that we're not merely left to chance or circumstance, but we are guarded and preserved by God. Jesus says, "My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." John 10:27-29. As long as we stay with Him, we have nothing to worry about. Nothing, and no one in this world can take our rewards. Our inheritance is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away. Our inheritance is reserved in heaven for us. He safeguards our hearts, our minds, and our souls, shielding us from harm and guiding us in His truth. Romans 8:38 reads, "For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And Psalm 121 verses 7 and 8 tells us, "The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and coming in from this time forth and forever." Knowing that we're kept by the one who has all power strengthens our faith and gives us confidence to live boldly for Christ. It motivates us to live faithfully, knowing that our lives are under divine protection and guidance. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight. Proverbs 3:5-6. We are kept for Jesus. Jesus tells us in John 14:2, "In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you." Just like a storm shelter that you run to for protection when a storm comes, it's fortified, it's strong, it offers protection, it offers safety for everyone inside. Being in God's family, we get to live within the shelter of the one who created the universe, even while we're in this broken world, and far more after this life. While we're here, we get to be slaves of our Savior. We enjoy the beautiful blessing of serving the most beautiful purpose in existence. We get to be the called out. We get strength in His purpose. His power enables us to persevere through the trials and accomplish His will. And we get to be the beloved of God. We get security in His presence. Even when challenges arise, we find refuge in Him, knowing that He is always here to protect us. And we get to be kept for Jesus Christ. We get peace in His promises, peace that surpasses all understanding. As we trust in His faithfulness, we experience a deep peace that remains steady even in the uncertainties of this life. As we persevere through this life, constantly thankful for the blessings bestowed upon us, we grow closer to our eternal home, where His presence, His strength and peace will forever surround us in all of its fullness. The role which God has given us as His children is a wonderful gift. Let's consider the next blessing of focus, the rewards that He has given us. Jude says in Jude 2, "May mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you." Because we are His children, we experience His mercy. His peace calms our hearts and minds every day. And His love strengthens us, encourages us, and holds us up through this world. Let's consider the mercy that we're blessed with every day. In the New Testament, the root of this word mercy appears 80 times. The New Testament places great emphasis on the concept of mercy. This word mercy is found 4 times in this one chapter of Jude alone. Mercy is often defined as kindness or concern expressed for someone in need. It encompasses compassion or pity. I've heard it said that grace is receiving a gift that we do not deserve, and mercy is not receiving the punishment that we do deserve. To receive God's mercy is to catch a break, to experience His favor and blessings precisely when we need them the most. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace for help at the time of our need. Hebrews 4:16. Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke. We'll be in chapter 10 and verse 30. We're going to take a look at the Good Samaritan. Again, that's Luke chapter 10 and verse 30. Here Jesus says, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers. And they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. Likewise, a Levite also. A priest walks by and passes by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion, and came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. And he put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay you.' Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands?" And he said, "The one who showed mercy toward him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do the same." This is the love that God shows us every single day. This is a great example of how God's mercy works in our lives constantly. We are often beaten down by this world. We are constantly in need of His help every single day. God knows our struggles and He knows our pain. He does not turn away, but he helps us with compassion in our darkest times. He heals our wounds. He heals our hearts, our minds, and our bodies. He heals our souls and our spirits every single day. He is constantly patient, constantly forgiving, and ready to help us get back up. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. And Jesus tells us we should extend this same mercy to others. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. It's only because of his mercy that we're able to be the called out, beloved of God, and kept for Jesus. It's because of his mercy that we are able to experience his peace. And the next reward that Jude mentions here is peace. And the root of peace appears 99 times in the New Testament. Clearly an important concept. God's peace is not found outside of him. We are blessed to participate in this reward every day. Peace is more than just the absence of conflict. It embodies a state of well-being and harmony. Peace is the harmonious relationship with God that believers enjoy because of justification. As seen in Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The peace of God brings us joy. It brings us hope. It brings us courage and strength. It helps us to keep our mind on spiritual things. We're given the peace of God from the God of peace. Throughout Scripture, God is often referred to as the God of peace. He's the one who grants and sustains the peace that we enjoy. In Romans 16:20, Paul says, "The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet." In 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 11, we're told, "Brothers and sisters, rejoice. Be made complete, be comforted, be like-minded, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you." In Philippians 4:9, "The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, we're told, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept complete." Now, let's consider the magnitude of our God being the God of peace. Our God is beyond the concept of time. He is beyond the laws which govern this world. For our God, nothing is ever getting older. Nothing is ever getting weaker. God is never limited in any way, never rushed for any reason. For our God, he remains in a state of perpetual perfection and peace, always. And because we are in Christ, because we are in his family, this is what he promised to us as well. Our soul is safe with him in eternity, in the place of perpetual perfection and peace. That is our true home. Knowing this truth should give us the deepest sense of peace, which surpasses all this world has to offer. Our God, as the God of peace, not only desires peace for his children in eternity, but he is with us to bring about peace in our lives here in this world through his presence, his power, and his grace that we get to feel and know every single day. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:7. God's peace provides a deep sense of security, knowing that he is in control of all circumstances, both in our lives and in the world around us. His peace frees us from anxiety and fear. His peace brings us wholeness and inner healing. The peace that only God provides reminds us that this world is not our home. and that one day we will live with him in perfect peace. The mercy of God is the reason we're able to enjoy the peace from God. It's also the mercy of God which opens the door for us to enjoy the love that only he can provide. The last reward which Jude mentions here is love. How often has his love for us helped us to love each other? To enjoy his love through the time with each other? How often has his love given us peace and support? How many times has his love guided us in the right direction? This love is a feeling of deep affection, the quality of warm regard and interest in another. It's characterized by a deep commitment to the well-being of others. This type of love goes beyond emotions and feelings. It involves a choice to care for and serve others. The word love appears 320 times in the New Testament, highlighting how important it is in our lives as Christians. God's love is always there for us as his children, reminding us of his faithfulness and care every day. Consider how abundantly God demonstrates his love for us. We feel God's love each and every day more often than we recognize. Through his love, we're strengthened and we're comforted. God's love guides us, providing us wisdom and direction in our daily lives. His love continually transforms our hearts and our minds, renewing us daily, healing us constantly. His love protects us from harm and provides for our needs. His love gives us the hope of eternal life with him. His love connects us together, helping us to support and encourage each other. As his children, we're blessed with the beautiful gift of feeling his love in our lives. Everywhere we go, everywhere we look, and everything we do, his love is with us. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Romans 5:5. His love remains unwavering even through our failures and weaknesses. This steadfast love encourages us to always run back to him. We know that our Father is merciful and waiting for us to come home, even when we're prodigal sons. It's this love that continually draws us closer to him and deeper in our relationship with him. Psalm 23 is a beautiful psalm that clearly shows the blessings of being in God's family. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. While we're here, because we are his, we get to live in God's mercy. His mercy offers us relief from our struggles, reminding us that we have help and support even through the difficulties in this life. We get to live in God's peace. In the chaos of this life, his peace surrounds us, providing strength and assurance that surpasses our difficulties. And we get to live in God's love. His love strengthens our hearts, empowering us to reflect that love to others. Jude wishes for these three gifts, mercy, peace, and love, to be multiplied. God, who has an endless supply of all three, is ready and willing to bestow them on his children. The wonderful beauty of being a part of God's family. the safety which surrounds our soul, and the peace which comes from it, and the abundance of mercy, peace, and love that he showers on us every single day. We truly are blessed to have these gifts multiplied to us. How often do we pause to notice the endless blessings that fill our lives each day? In 2007, the Washington Post conducted an experiment with the famous violinist Joshua Bell. Dressed in casual clothes, Bell played his Stradivarius violin in a Washington, D.C. subway station during morning rush hour. Despite his extraordinary talent and the beauty of the classical pieces that he performed, over 1,000 commuters just rushed by. Only 7 people stopped to listen. This experiment powerfully illustrates how easily we can miss moments of beauty in our hurried lives. Just like those who rushed by, we often rush through this life, focused on our schedules, missing the beauty and the blessings which surround us, missing the love that God is showing us, missing the peace that God is giving us, and missing the opportunities to share his love and peace with others. There is so much beauty that we are surrounded by every day. If we could slow down, we may be able to see more of it. Our lives are not random or purposeless. We are God's people, and we live for his purpose. You are a masterpiece in the making. You are called, loved, and kept by God. As we go into this week ahead, embrace your role in Christ. Understand your purpose. Recognize that being called out means you have a specific role in God's plan. Allow your role as God's child to shape your choices daily and reflect his love. Live in a way that embodies God's love, showing kindness and grace to others at every opportunity, and trust in his protection. Understand that being kept for Jesus means that you are under his divine care. And we need to remember to thrive in the overflow of God's gifts. Embody his mercy. With some things in this life, the more you give it away, the more you get. Let's slow down and look for every opportunity to show his mercy to others. Live in his peace. The peace of God is beyond the concept of time. His peace is perpetual and perfect. And reflect his love. Let your life be a mirror of God's love, showing kindness, grace, and forgiveness to others, demonstrating what it means to be in the family of God. Let's slow down, take time, and appreciate all the blessings that God has given us, and work to see every opportunity that he gives us to share his love with others. If you're not yet a part of God's family, if you've heard anything in this lesson that you would like in your own life, please come forward. If you're ready to surrender and give yourself to God, please come forward this evening as we stand and sing.